welcome to the Entertainment Dagger for the week of January 19th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and hit over the head by surfboard, Melissa Hansen.
I was. Not over the head. It was kind of right at the hairline. It was like my first one, too.
Never surfed. But, 6 years in L.A., right, living at the beach, never surfed.
Yeah, I'm taking some surfing lessons. And I didn't do too bad overall, but yeah, that was kind of my first try. It's not again, then I'm off of it. And then it was, the surfboard was between me and the waves, which you never, ever, ever want. It's like the first thing when you're not on the board, make sure it's next to you.
Yeah.
And that's the part I forgot.
Yeah.
And so I got a surfboard to the head.
It's all right. Everybody starts somewhere.
So that's going to be my excuse from now on. I took a surfboard to the head.
Jeez.
Like if I'm ever stupid or forgetful or whatever.
How was your weekend entertainment?
That was my weekend entertainment.
That was it?
And a whole bunch of tourists standing on the mat beach pier watching me.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, so that surf lesson ended up, I'm surprised I didn't get a bruise or a lump or anything on my head.
Yeah.
But it ended up with the tops of my feet all scraped up and bleeding. One big bruise on my one knee, and then a big bruise and lump on the other shin, and a jammed finger.
Wow.
And I was proud of it all.
There you go. Yep. Scars make you who you are.
Yeah.
I've gone back to Twin Peaks.
Okay.
For the first time since it was originally on TV. I think I probably watched the pilot or the movie since then, but I haven't gone back to watch the series. I am amazed at how vivid memories I have of this thing, because I was in college when it first aired.
I was high school.
So the first season was only 8 episodes. It was kind of a miniseries, and then it got picked up for a full 22.
Okay. It did. It was like a spring, wasn't it? Like the first episode.
Yep. Mid-season replacement.
Okay.
Yep. Big deal.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy cult phenomenon, all of the, you know, fever. You know, you talk about viral stuff back then in the late 80s. That was really weird.
Yeah.
But, it's fantastic. And there's a lot of stuff that I completely forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's kind of rediscovering it again. But I wanted to do this because it is coming back to TV. Next year in 2016, David Lynch, Mark Frost are going to give us, I think it's 13 episodes on Showtime.
Okay.
And they're just now starting to confirm cast. So Kyle MacLachlan is back as Agent Cooper. Cheryl Lee is back as whoever she is. You know, Laura Palmer or Maddie Palmer or whoever.
Yeah.
No, not Maddie Palmer. What would it be her cousin Maddie? Who else? Somebody else was confirmed too. I forget.
Nice.
Ray Wise. Ray Wise will be back.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm a third of the way into season 2.
Okay.
I'm also surprised at how quickly. I thought storylines were more dragged out at some point, but it's really hitting one on top of the other, and I'm like, ooh, that came really fast. I thought that was much later.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's so funny because there's so many specific visuals that stick with me.
Yep.
But I'm sure I'd watch it and be like, oh, I forgot that whole storyline or that whole thing. Because it's specific characters or visuals. There's creep. I'm thinking about it and it totally creeps me out. And I think it was later. I think it was more towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. The Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
And the cream corn.
Yes, that was very early.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. That was the beginning of season 2.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
That visual, though, creeps me out to this day if I think about it.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, exactly. Like, there's so much, I'm sure there's plot lines. Like, I'm going to be like, dude, totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, it was, oh my God, it was so great, but so weird.
Extremely weird. And the episodes, like, David Lynch directed the opening episode of season 2, and it is bizarre. I mean, it is David Lynchian bizarre. And then he shows up as Cooper's supervisor, Gordon, halfway through, and he's a deaf guy who has this, you know, hearing aid, and he can't hear, and there's so much.
I forgot that.
But then the stuff with Bob, and how creepy and sexually molesting psychosexual, just wah. It gets very, very dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, it holds up incredibly well. I'm very, very surprised that it that could be done today. I mean, honestly,
yeah,
this was 25 years ago, and it could. It looks like it could have been done today. So,
God, it was that long ago. That's crazy.
Years.
That's crazy.
Yep. Anyways, box office this week, I knew it was going to do well.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know it was going to do this well.
No, not at all. American Sniper, $105 million for the weekend.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? That's crazy amount. Yep. That's record-breaking.
Yep.
That's the biggest January opening ever.
That's bigger than some summer movies get in their first weekend.
Yeah. Shattered Avatar's. Avatar had a January opening thing, and yeah, this like shattered it. Wow. I'm dumbfounded that it did that well. And the controversy is all over the place because there are people pointing out
The differences.
Pointing out
in reality
things about him.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, not just the fantasy and reality, but pointing out that so Seth Rogen got in big trouble, Michael Moore got in big trouble and stuff. Seth Rogen pointed out that this is like the film they were watching in the third act of Inglourious Bastards.
Oh.
So like a Nazi propaganda.
Okay.
But this is the American version.
Oh, wow.
This is an American propaganda piece.
Wow.
Which I don't know if I take it that far, but I expressed last week when we were talking about this coming out that if you watch it, mm-hmm. I personally think you should also go do a little research. You can enjoy it for a film, but you should do a little research about him.
Well, we know Clint's political leanings. Clint Eastwood has been very open about, you know, his political beliefs. So you can't, as a director, you can't help but have some of that stuff seep into your stories.
But, yeah. But, I mean, if you're looking at this as real events, he's like, he's a hero. Maybe, depending on your definition, I'm not going to say he's not.
Yeah.
Because it's military. He definitely is a military hero.
Yeah, by military standards.
But he's also a proven liar.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not calling him that, just like calling him names.
Yeah.
Like, this has been proven numerous times. And not only, I mean, it was proven in a court of law. Jesse Ventura won, like, $100 million, not that much, how much, whatever it was. Huge amount. Defamation suit against him.
Wow.
Because he tells lots of stories to make him, told lots of stories to make himself look good. Mm-hmm. And he did some, what people might consider heroic acts.
Okay.
You know, he has like the most kills as like a sniper and, all that. But there, he also, I mean, I brought up like his seeming racism. In it, but he's also been proven time and time again, a lot of the stories he told and are in the book and stuff are flat out lies.
Wow.
So I would say take any movie based on someone's biography or any historical movie, like with a grain of salt, because it's a movie.
Sure.
This is not a documentary, you know, but this one, I would caution that even more.
Okay.
So that's my soapbox.
The other thing that disturbs me is that for as much as I dislike Bradley Cooper, now people are going to be giving him A-list projects all the time because he could open a $100 film, $100 million film.
Not like Bradley Cooper.
I did.
Go watch his in the actor studio.
Yeah.
Right? So at the time, whatever.
Inside
the actor studio.
Yep.
Go watch his episode.
Okay.
Is so freaking great because part of what they do at the end of it, they go and pull all the clips from when he was a student.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. I forgot about that.
Asking questions.
Okay.
Of like, you know, movie stars that were the guests, and it's so neat to see.
Oh.
Anyhow, I'm a fan of his. Yeah. I get why people want to watch him.
Yeah.
But anyhow, all right.
Number two.
this whatever. So Paddington, too. That's quite a change there.
Yeah,
25 million, which isn't bad actually.
Right. Yeah, well, it's a standard opening weekend for most films.
Yeah. So it didn't do too bad. And then The Wedding Ringer, third with 24 million.
Yeah.
So right there, Taken three, 17 million.
Yep.
Speaking of controversy.
Yep.
Liam Neeson was quoted talking about the problem with guns in the U.S.
Yeah.
And school shootings and things like that.
Yeah.
So the gun manufacturer that supplied all the weapons for Taken 3 has come out a statement how disappointed they are with him, and they will never supply product for a Liam Neeson movie again.
Now, this is funny because this is a guy who grew up in Ireland when the IRA was at its height.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyhow. Just the other big movie controversy. Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like controversy everywhere.
Huh.
Selma came in fifth with only 12 million.
Yep.
And of course, with the nominations for Academy Awards, and it's not being, the actors not being nominated, and no African-American actors nominated this year.
Nope. And Ava DuVernay did not get nominated for a Directors Guild Award either. So it's just people are up in arms. Now, the minute the Academy Awards were announced, now living out on the East Coast, I mean, back in L.A., when I lived in L.A., you'd have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal, and everybody got phone calls and woke everybody up out of bed. Here, it's 8 o'clock. Everybody's already up and moving around. So Facebook exploded as these things were being announced. And I'm like, I don't care. People were getting all worked up about this stuff.
Yeah, I do a little bit. And then part of me is like, what is it? It's like the Academy is like 97% white.
Well, and the voting members, it's not like the Screen Actors Guild. Everybody in the Screen Actors Guild votes for the awards. You have the option to vote. If you are a paid up dues member, you have the opportunity to vote. Not to say that everybody does, because whatever. In the Academy, in AMPAS, there's a very select group of people who nominate and vote. It's not the entire industry who vote on these things.
Basically old white men.
And they're older people, and they're people who have been in the business for a long time, with some of whom are very out of touch with what... I get so upset because my views on awards shows have been... I have been shy about saying this. They're ridiculous. They're very subjective. They mean nothing.
How do you pick one performance out of the entire year that's the best?
You can't. It's all impossible.
It's all, I'm sure Bradley Cooper went through a hell of a lot to film American Sniper.
And they
went through a hell of a lot to film Selma. You know, like, how do you compare those?
And what is of value to you as a viewer is very different from what even your family members. I mean, we go to the movies with my family and my friends, and we all have differing opinions of how it works. And that's the same thing. So don't sit here and say, blanket awards, Meryl Streep is the greatest actor in the world. She's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But it's a popularity contest, folks. These mean nothing. So when people get all upset and are ranting and railing on...
And it's what the tide is that year.
Yes, of course.
Are we all about the indies? Are we all about the African-American actors? Are we all about this or that? It's whatever the tide is that year, too.
But to take it as a valued social comment on the industry and artistry, it's a bullshit. It's bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Okay, what's coming out?
Well, that's next week at the box office. We've got four movies of note. Jennifer Aniston's stars in Cake, which got her a lot of award season interest. Johnny Depp in Mordecai, which is it's based on a series of books. He's an art dealer who's also a master thief kind of thing.
It's kind of crazy, but fun.
Very funny, very wacky.
Yeah.
They're trying to make a franchise out of this. If a lot of people go see it, maybe. Otherwise, he's going to keep playing Captain Jack.
Oh, yeah, go see it.
J-Lo and John Corbett in The Boy Next Door, which is a thriller. What a combination that is. Talk about weird combinations. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break, Carl Urban from Star Trek, James Marsden, who I despise with the fury.
I kind of love him.
And Eric Stone Street from Modern Family.
Nice.
In a thriller called The Loft, about
these
guys who buy a loft and then they share it for illicit affairs and things like that. whatever. If you're going to the box office, go see American Sniper or one of these new ones. DVD and Blu-ray this week, Scarlett Johansson and Lucy, which got a hell of a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, it looks kind of ridiculous, but cool.
The animated film from Coraline and Paranorman director-producer teams, The Box Trolls, which kind of failed at the box office. Nobody went to see this thing.
Yeah.
Don't know. Terry Gilliam's Zero Theorem, which nobody wanted to show in the theaters at all. It got a release in Europe, but hardly any theaters picked it up here.
All right, then.
So if you're a Terry Gilliam fan, you want to check this out because it stars Christoph Waltz. It's very sci-fi, very... Mm-hmm. The creepy doll film Annabelle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then one of James Gandolfini's last films, he must have made a lot.
He made a lot, yeah, right before.
Right before he passed away. So it's Gandolfini, Tom Hardy, and Nomi Rapace from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in The Drop.
Okay. Yeah, he did, and Philip Seymour Hoffman made like a whole bunch of stuff right before he died, too, because they keep coming.
Yeah. Redbox this week, Reese Witherspoon in The Good Lie, Ryan Phillippe in Catch Hell, his career has gone nowhere. He's not doing direct
TV. He's going to be on TV.
He is.
We'll be talking about that later this spring.
All right. Viggo Mortensen in The Two Faces of January. Here's a weird cast. Billy Crudup, Felicity Huffman, Selena Gomez, and Larry Fishburne in a movie called Rudderless.
Okay.
And then Tyler Perry gives Madea an animated movie called Tough Love.
What?
I don't know. He said he's never going to play Madea again, but here he's voicing her. So, whatever. Netflix this week, Gary Oldman in a remake of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a damn good movie. If you have not seen this and you like British spy dramas, go see, rent this at Netflix. Or you want to just watch it at Netflix. You don't have to rent it. Patton Oswalt's comedy special Tragedy Plus Comedy. There's a documentary called Kids for Cash about the juvenile prison system, which is supposed to be fantastic. Rowan Atkinson in Johnny English Reborn.
Nice.
I didn't see the first one, but this is supposed to be better than that. And then DreamWorks animated original series for Netflix, Adventures of Puss in Boots, which is a spinoff of Shrek.
Yes.
Hulu. New Top Gear specials, Uncovered, Apocalypse, and At the Movies. A six-episode British comedy called Chickens about three small-town conscientious objectors to World War I.
Okay, then.
You know, you hear about that in Vietnam and things, but these three guys apparently hit out because they didn't want to go to war.
All right.
So they hit out in a rural town. And then season one of the Canadian crime drama Cracked. You might be interested in this. It's a newly formed unit with psychiatrists for psych crimes and crisis.
All right, then.
13 episodes on Hulu this week.
Check that out.
All right, that's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay. Well, Tuesday night, State of the Union.
Oh, yes.
Pretty much on everything. But if you're not going to watch that, it is the season premiere of Justified on FX.
Good.
So, that's Tuesday. Wednesday, Bravo has a new reality competition show called Best New Restaurant.
Okay.
And then it's also American Horror Story finale on FX. Thursday, we have the finales of Bad Judge and A to Z on NBC.
It's like you're talking a foreign language to me. I know nothing about any of this stuff.
But anyhow, yeah. And then Backstrom premiere on Fox. It's Rainn Wilson's new show.
Oh, I saw the trailer for this.
Plays like a schlubby cop.
Yeah.
Type of. So that one could definitely be interesting. Saturday, it's the U.S. Champions Ladies Free Skate on NBC. And then Sunday, we just talked about it starting, but the finale of Gallivant.
Okay.
Is on ABC. And then also Sunday evening on NBC, the 63rd annual Miss Universe pageants. All right, then. Yeah. Okay, interesting stuff out on music this week, though. American Beauty, American Psycho from Fall Out Boy.
Oh.
The Pale Emperor from Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Girls in Peacetime Want to Dance, Belle and Sebastian.
Okay.
What a terrible world. What a beautiful world. The Decemberists. And then cheek to cheek live Lady Gaga in 2020.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they went and basically re-recorded it, but, you know, just live version, not in the studio.
Right.
Books this week, Veronica Mars 2, Mr. Kiss and Tell. It's Rob Thomas. It's the second Veronica Mars's novel.
Okay.
He's written. Huh. So if you are still missing her, that will help you out. And then No Simple Highway, A Cultural History of the Grateful Dead by Peter Richardson. Ooh. Yeah, so a different take. A little bit of a take, because we know what a cultural phenomenon it is.
Yeah.
So, not just the band.
God, I reviewed that box set from Shout Factory. What was it, like 17 discs of the Grateful Dead?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, that was overload.
So, but we also have a biography, George Harrison, Behind the Locked Door. So, a bunch of kind of classic music stuff.
Huh.
To learn about there. And then, theater news, preview January 27th, and then actual opening February 11th. It's a new play called Rashida Speaking.
Okay.
It's at Pershing Square Signature Center, New York. First-time director Cynthia Nixon.
Oh.
And it stars Tony Winner, Tanya Pinkins, and Diane Weist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Huh. Good for them.
Yeah. So you're going to want to get tickets for that because it opens end of the month.
Diane is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. To see her live.
Speaking of live theater, NBC has cast its headliners for its next live musical.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Hudgens and Juliana Huff in Grease.
Mm-hmm. As Rizzo and Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ages there make no sense whatsoever, right?
I don't even. Moving on. Leah Michelle will front another new Ryan Murphy series, this one called Scream Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So she won't have to worry about being unemployed for too long. Gary Sinise is moving from one spinoff to another.
Okay.
He leaves CSI New York, which got canceled a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And joins the new Criminal Minds spinoff for next season.
It's interesting, Criminal Minds spinoff. They did this a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Fourth Whitaker and Janine Garofalo, and it lasted a season, and it ended on this massive cliffhanger, and then it didn't get renewed.
Huh.
So we'll see how this one fares.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gyllenhaal is likely to replace Tom Hardy in Warner Brothers' Suicide Squad film. He's busy with another project, and the production times don't line up, so he had to drop out.
Yeah, bummer.
For those of you who are concerned, you can rest assured that Ian Ziering and Tara Reid will return for Sharknado 3. I haven't watched the first two, I'm proud to say.
It's like in my Netflix queue. I keep saying, I gotta check it out.
They are in my queue as well, I have to admit, but I have not watched them.
Yeah, I haven't watched them yet, but yeah.
After his appearance as Dr. Evil on Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago, Mike Myers has signed an exclusive development deal with HBO.
Okay.
Which may or may not include another Austin Powers movie.
That was really funny, though.
It was very funny.
I don't know if you saw the skit.
I did.
Oh my God, that was funny. Okay. Yeah.
James Cameron needs more time to finish his next three Avatar films. So he's pushing the release back a year to 2017.
Why does anyone care anymore?
Nobody does. Nobody but James Cameron.
No one cared. Whatever. How many years ago did Avatar come out? Nobody cared about sequels then.
Right.
Whatever.
Yep. And we talked about it last week, but X-Files 2015 is getting some serious traction. At the Television Critics Association rollout this past week, Fox, Television president said, yep, we are actually talking with Chris Carter about developing a miniseries because the 24 miniseries did so well for them last year. Mm-hmm. This is one of their big properties, and it would be a big moneymaker.
Woohoo!
So now I have to go back after I get done with Twin Peaks and start watching X-Files from beginning to end. Actually, we dropped out.
It got too creepy for me. I wasn't in the state of mind.
Yeah.
I was really into it, and it just got too realistic, creepy on some things.
It was what, season six or season
six? I wasn't in the state of mind that I was enjoying it anymore. And then I got back into it at the end in the movies and everything.
Yeah.
But I just needed a break.
Yeah. But this would go back into continuity, whereas the last movie was kind of a standalone story, which wasn't all that exciting, to be perfectly honest. But this would wrap up a lot of hanging plot threads, which I'm curious to see. That's all the news I have there this week.
Okay. Well, speaking of SNL skits.
Yes.
If you have not seen it.
What?
You can just Google it. The clip's everywhere. Kate McKinnon.
I did see this.
Oh, my God. She did. They did, like, commercial version parody of Justin Bieber's.
Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein ads.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. It's one of the best things, like, caught on camera. She's brilliant. It's so funny. And Cecily Strong's pretty good as, like, the model who's like, get the hell away from me.
It's not the wiener.
But, so they, of course, tweeted, SNL tweeted the links to it.
Yeah.
And guess who replied?
Justin Bieber.
Yep. And total props to him. Now, it may be a manager or somebody who was saying, telling him to say this.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he replied, well played. LOL.
It was good. It was really good.
Doesn't have such a stick in his ass.
Yeah.
Sense of humor. I doubt it. But anyhow.
Nice.
All right. Kardashian news. So anybody who's been watching Kourtney and Khloe take the Hamptons knows Scott, like, almost, like, basically died from drinking this past summer. And then he totally cleaned up his act.
Mm-hmm.
And was doing well in the new baby and, like, all good. Yep, except that last weekend he totally
fell off the wagon.
Fell off the wagon. Went to Aspen. Like him and his boys, whatever, just like took bottles of booze from the bar and trashed the hotel room. And anyhow, so our good old Scott seems to be back.
Great.
Yeah.
Do we have a contest this week?
We do. Zara's Law. Which is, it's like a cop mob movie thriller.
Okay.
So that will be a fun one. But one of the best things in it, Burt Young.
I didn't think he was still alive.
Paulie from the Rocky movies is in it.
I'm looking it up on IMDb right now to see how old he is. He's got to be 100 years old.
74.
Oh, my God. Good for him.
Anyhow. So that should actually be a fun one.
All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com and hanging with me through with extreme patience as I try and get my act together and keep the content flowing, which will change once we switch over to the new format, because then I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I've been dreaming that someday there will be you and I, and we'll never say goodbye.